Thank you for tuning in to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry with Tara. In the studios, Tanya and Janelle and Beth, myself, Sandy, and of course, like I said, Miss Tara.
Ha ha.
We're in Matthew 18 about the lost sheep. And today we're going to kind of settle in into the last paragraph, which would be 19 and 20, and talk about prayer.
We are. Barnes' commentary has this incredible quote. It says, "Humility leads to treating disciples well. We must make sure that church discipline is carried out with the right motive." And what I have found is that the most difficult thing about church discipline is the more we are drawn closer to Christ, the more we are actually grieved. And I think it's harder on the person having to do the discipline than it is on the one who's actually receiving it. And there is a Bible verse that says, you know, discipline in the moment is hard, but it reaps a greater reward. And I can't remember where it's located. And so the process we went through last time, it's difficult, but it brings a great reward when we approach it with humility and the person is willing to be humbled by the process. Now what we're going to do is we're going to examine the last part of what Jesus said to them would happen. So we've looked at, you know, the pursuit of the lost sheep and the problem that the sheep is lost. We've looked at the process of what he wants us to go through. But now what we're going to do is let's examine the promises that will be fulfilled that he gives them. Because Jesus doesn't leave them just with the problem and the process. He gives them something to hold on to. He shows them the hope that they will have. And he says to them, "I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." And so let's begin looking at some promises to hold. As we look at that passage, just list out what you find as promises within that. What do you think that are the promises we could have?
God's presence, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his presence. Mm-hmm. Good.
And his promise to hear our prayers.
He's hearing. What else?
Answering prayer where two of you are agreeing on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the answering. So hearing and answering. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else?
The authority of reinforcing what we bind and loose.
Yes, the authority of when we bind and loose, it is done. There is a definite set power given.
I was going to say power.
Yeah. Okay. What else? When you look at this, do you see anything else? I see the presence of not just the Father, but I also see the presence of the Son. He says, "It will be done for you by my Father in heaven, and where you are gathering on earth, as the two of you, I'm there." So we have a heavenly presence and we have an earthly presence. Is that cool? And so I wrote it out as a divine involvement that is occurring as we are in the process of drawing near to God. What else? Do you see anything else? Can we glean any more from that? I look at this passage and it's pretty powerful, and I think we use it, and I think it's often used to refer to the binding and the loosing and, you know, what we say on earth is going to be in heaven. I want to clarify that that is not referring to if I say to my paycheck, increase, that my paycheck is going to increase. And the only reason why I say that is because I heard a clip yesterday of a pastor that actually did that on TV. That is not what it is talking about. It is referring to the prayers that will bring about kingdom building.
God's will.
God's will, not man's.
Right.
And so this is not a name it and claim it concept. That is not what that is used for. And so I wanted to make sure that we get that down.
Right.
And
Well, when we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying God's will.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. the presence of Jesus is there with us, and we're praying what he wants.
Yeah, he's our intercessor. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's good. That's good. All right. The other thing that I've found is that when we come together, he tells us to bring in that two or three again. And do you remember in the upper passage, twice in this passage, he references two or three. Mm-hmm. What was the purpose of the two or three witnesses? What was the point behind that?
Go ahead. Affirm that what you were saying was true, right?
Right.
Witness.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. To establish the testimony, to make it known. And so it's the same when we're gathering in prayer. Now, someone might argue and say, well, does that mean that I can't pray by myself? And that's not what it's saying. Mm-mm. It's just giving an affirmation for God's pleasure in seeing two or three of his children. That does not negate our closet prayer time. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that Jesus is not with us in our closet prayers.
Well, I think of two there, Jesus and me.
Right, exactly. Know, so. But yeah. There are some that would argue because of that, taking it out of context. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure I brought that up. And then I want us to see that it affects the community. There's I love that Janelle brought up the binding and loosing. When we think of the power it brings, it's a power of authority that he has given us here on earth as an individual, as his child. But it's also our authority he has given us within community, within the body of Christ that he has given us. And then it's also our authority to impact eternity. Mm-hmm. Do you see how it has a triune kind of effect to it? It's mm-hmm. personal, it's communal, and it's heavenly. And so he gives us the opportunity to impact all levels of our serving in the kingdom when we are working with this in our lives and praying it into others. Now, taking that into our mindset, when he's talking about the rescuing of a brother or a sister, I definitely would say he's well pleased when we're praying for somebody to be restored.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And we could definitely say that if we're having to make decisions about the drawing back of a brother or sister or the discipline that must take place, we can know that he will be involved in the decision if we are binding, coming together as witnesses, asking him for his will to be made known. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the process that would be unveiled, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it just gives me great pleasure. How does that break down and affect you guys when we go through those? What are your thoughts on that?
Kind of just a random thought. I wonder if binding and loosing has anything to do with when the shepherd goes after the sheep to set them free. You know, like if they, if the sheep was caught on something and they had to loose them from their trap.
Okay, well, one, a shepherd would rescue, they would break their legs, and they would carry the sheep over their shoulders, so the sheep had no choice but to depend upon the shepherd. So do you remember how at the beginning of the passage, 4 weeks ago, we talked about how the child was so dependent? That's the reason why he wants us to be like a little child. Mm-hmm. The child had to wait upon a parent for their provision, their position and power given to them. Mm. It's the same for a sheep. When a sheep has strayed, they would break it so that they had to wait for the provision and their position and the power to be given to them from the shepherd. And so it's a tie-in back into the upper part. It's a good question. Wasn't intending to talk on that, but that's a great, great tie-in. And it causes the lost sheep to learn to trust, and it causes the lost sheep to not want to stray because they've had to depend so much on the shepherd because of the broken leg. They don't want to get far from him,
right.
And that's the reason why we don't run anymore when we've learned to depend. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, and so that's awesome. All right, anybody else have a thought that they wanted to share as we think on these? How does it impact you when you think about how intimate this is?
Intimate and not draining, but it's definitely mean, it's not something you just jump into and make a decision and go. You know, it takes time. It's personal, it's individual, it's unique to each person, and things are revealed as you encounter it. But I don't know, it just gives us a picture into his heart too, with I don't want to have to discipline you again.
Don't make those choices,
right.
Yeah.
Just, I want to bless you. Just like we do with those that we disciple. We want to bless them when they make the right choices. But when we do stray, he does have to discipline in order to produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Mm. I think it says in Romans. Can I just share a really quick story I heard yesterday? It was by Ravi Zacharias, and he shared how there was a very influential man that he, somebody invited him into his home to a dinner, and very powerful in this country, and how this believing friend would have Ravi pray in front of his pagan friends before they ate. This is my friend. He likes to pray before he eats. Just listen to him. And that's how he would open up and, you know, allow prayer to be established, because his friends, he was a new believer. And so this powerful, influential friend that he had invited, over the course of the evening, spoke with Ravi and shared with him that recently his wife had left him about 10 years ago, but he was trying to restore things, had sent her a letter and asked for her to come back, that he loved her, that if she just did these things that he stated in the letter, that he would bring her back, forgive her, love her, and they could continue on. Well, she just shared that she would, but give her 6 months and then she'll come back. So over time he shared with Ravi that she would come. She came back and she's like, no, not interested. I don't want to follow these. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't understand why she wouldn't accept these requirements, I guess we'll say.
Conditions,
yes. And so as he's dialoguing to Ravi about this, Ravi asked him, why, what do you have against God? And he said, well, I just don't understand a God that would say, you have to love me and do these things in order not to go to hell, not to experience this and this and this. I don't understand it. And Ravi just opened his mouth and kind of put his hands out. And it was in that moment that the Spirit of God opened that man's understanding, and he just broke down and wept because he saw its pleasantness that God wants to give us in the boundaries of a love relationship. There has to be conditions.
Boundaries.
Has
mm-hmm.
to be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so he wept. It was at that moment.
That's so beautiful.
Wept and repented and received the Lord. Yeah.
Praying into powerful. Those moments.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's so important. And that kind of moment is huge. Like, that's something you sit and write on for a long time.
Oh, I was being in my car yesterday.
Aww.
Listening.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it. I love those moments.
I love in this passage that it's such a problem. You know, we're so uncomfortable with the situation of calling someone out on their sin, and it's scary and it's terrifying and it's almost the worst thing you can imagine, having to put a relationship in danger like that. And the solution to the problem, the very end of it, is come together and God will be there with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, you know, movies with heroes in them, everything's better once the hero gets there. Then it's like, oh, everything's going to be okay. Because they're there and they're going to fix it.
Epic.
And it's like, God, this is a huge problem. I don't know how to deal with this. And it's like, okay, it's okay. I'll be there with you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
God's here. Done.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and the ifs and buts are always there, you know, but the promises of God are always there, right there. And the teachings are so important.
It is. And so in my situation where I told you last time that I was praying, and maybe 2 times ago, and God gave me the Psalm 16, that was him showing up in a way that I understood, so that I had the confidence, because I was praying, that he was speaking into me from heaven on this earth as I was moving forward in community to do his will. And I was able to move forward without doubt. without insecurity, without, it was all with confidence, knowing because God had shown up. And the key is that we have to be willing to follow through and take the time to go and pray. And sometimes our tendency is to pray after it gets bad instead of praying beforehand. And praying into it before it occurs, that's the best way. Praying for in our times of peace, for the times that when conflict comes, is what prepares us. And I've wondered as I've looked at this, okay, so he tells them, you know, this is the problem and this is the process. And then he gives them really the solution with the promises. And at first I thought, God, why didn't you give them the promises first? And I honestly don't think they would have grasped on, or let me rephrase, I wouldn't have grasped on to how important those promises are if I first didn't understand what the problem was. And so he was allowing them to see the problem, allowing them to see the extent of the process, and then showing them how the promises would be fulfilled if they were willing to do what he was showing them. And that's where greatness is. Because they began the chapter with, you know, who is the greatest? And here he's showing them that's where it is. Bending on your knees in prayer on behalf of one another and rescuing so that you can bind and bring people back and restore them into the kingdom. And I was just blown away by this passage. It just really motivated me and convicted me on so many levels. I can't even begin to even probably even put it into words. And so as we're thinking about going and seeking out our brothers and sisters, I just want us to remember, you know, we have to obviously begin in prayer. We have to seek out to know the story, to know the heart. Ask for the explanations of the motives of the actions. Ask so that you can understand. Do it in privacy so that you can give dignity, respect, and opportunity for conviction and repentance to occur. And as you administer the correction, do it in humility and provide the way of escape. Because Scripture tells us that he will provide us the way of escape. If you know what the way of escape is, then provide it clearly by demonstrating love that you are there with them in the process. It's amazing. It's a gift. And we're so glad you've been listening. If you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you to answer them. And just praying for you as you work this process out in your body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.